Well, I'll tell you what, Brother Ken, how'd you know? That song, very appropriate for what I've chosen to speak to you about tonight. When you think about the words of this song, each day I'll do a golden deed by keeping those who are in need. We're going to talk about how we can be a help to one another. He said, my life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. And that sums it all up right there. You know, I'd like to speak to you tonight, just for a short time, I hope, about how love lifted me. And tonight, not necessarily just me personally, but I'll tell you what, love lifted me. Many of you know that prior to being a Christian, my earlier life, that I tried to commit suicide. Love lifted me. It was seeing the words of God and all the promises of God in Christ and bringing that all together, realizing that it was very true, and love lifted me. It lifted me right out of my sorrows, right out of my self-pity. And it pointed me on a road that led me here today. Love lifted me. And love can do that for anybody. It took a lot of years for that to happen to me, though. I was pretty stubborn. I'm still stubborn. But now I'm stubborn in the Lord. And now I have hope in future because love lifted me. And that's the title of our lesson today. And we can see examples of love. And I'll tell you, I'm just messing up all over the place. We can see examples of love all throughout the Scriptures. And how love lifts people up. I really appreciated Brother Spencer's prayer when he mentioned, reach out and touch their hearts. You see, that's how we can help and add love-lifting power to our lives. But as we look at this, and we see many of examples. For example, Peter's mother-in-law, she was sick. Jesus came into the room. He reached down and lifted her up. That was love lifting her up. At a glance, at a gate called Beautiful, Peter meets up with a man who is crippled from birth. And he looks down intently at this man in his eyes, and he says, the man, he wants money, he wants to be helped. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to be healed. And he reached down, the Bible says, and he lifted him up. And that man jumped and leapt around, and everybody was amazed. Love lifted me. Dorcas was restored to life, left for dead. Everybody, don't bother, she's dead. And Jesus reached down and lifted her up from death into life. Love. That's the power. Peter, he meets Cornelius, and Cornelius comes to him, and he realizes this is a man from God, and he bows down at his feet. And what did Peter do? He reached down and he grabbed his hand and lifted him up, and he said, don't do that. I'm just a man. Love lifted me. A boy was healed. Jesus' disciples were approached by this man whose boy was leprotic, and he was often cast into the fire and into the depths of the water. And they tried to heal him and they couldn't do it. And Jesus came along and asked him what was going on. And Jesus cast out that spirit and the boy was made whole. He laid on the ground, though, and the people around said, he's dead. And Jesus reached down, and love lifted that boy right up. You see, it's powerful. Love lifted me. And it is true that most helpful men, it is often being powerful in their abilities to help because they themselves have walked through the valley of the shadow of death. People that have a zeal and a desire for the life and the love and the care of other people's souls oftentimes had a lot of struggles in their own lives. You think about the Apostle Paul. and all the turmoil he must have been going through in his mind shortly after he met Jesus on the road to Damascus and was blinded. Love had a lot to do with lifting him up. People get through these things, and not without scars, but through genuine faith that administers or even receives lifting power of unselfish love of Christ. Love lifted me. And it can do that for everyone here tonight. Tonight I'd like to share some ways that our brethren's love together can lift each other up, and how each of us can harness the power that God has so freely and lovingly given us, the love that lifts up and strengthens people. We just want to consider two simple points. When do we need strength from our brother? And when do I need strength from my brother? And the other point is, how can I strengthen my brethren? Because it works both ways. And so, when do I need strength from my brethren? Well, when we become physically and emotionally distraught and spiritually tired sometimes. Sometimes we're just the pinnacle of spirituality to everybody in every place. And sometimes we can get very tired, because we're not perfect. And so we can be spiritually attuned and strong in the Word of God and still need help. No matter who you are, there's times when you might need help. And Jesus, of course, is the master of all help. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 14, with me. In Matthew chapter 14, in verse 22, and understand, Jesus had just fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 little pieces of fish. And those people, they were filled. And they left up 12 baskets full of fragments. But at this point, they had eaten. And immediately Jesus, in verse 22, made his disciples get into the boat and go before him on the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. So some time has passed by. And now when evening came, he was alone there. And the boat is now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the sea. And they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And listen to this next verse here in verse 28. And Peter answered him and he said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out onto the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." See, we all can get to a point where we're sinking. Remember the song, Sinking Sand. Peter says, "Save me, Lord." And as Jesus would normally do, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and he caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, and why do you doubt?" And they got into the boat and the wind ceased. Jesus lifted him up. Love lifted him up out of his terror, out of his turmoil. And we think of these things. In Matthew chapter 26, in Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 36, what you see there is Jesus was in the garden and he's out praying. Because he knows that his life is going to end very soon. And he's in the garden and he tells his disciples in verse 36, he says, go and sit over there and pray. And you look at verse 37, the very next verse. And what happens there is that he took Peter, two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful, deeply depressed. This is Jesus. This is the Lord. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Deeply distressed. And in verses 38 through 39, he tells them that his soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. And he tells them, stay here and watch with me. You see that? Even the Lord found benefit from those disciples, and he wanted them to just stay there and watch with him. And he went a little bit further and he fell on his face and he prayed saying, oh Father, and now he's got the Father involved. He's got his disciples there to watch with him and comfort him and be a part of this. And he's got the Father in heaven who he's praying to, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus found comfort, sought comfort from the disciples being with him. And when he came out to the disciples, of course, you know, in verse 40, he found them sleeping. And he says to Peter, what, couldn't you just watch with me for an hour? And then in verse 41, he makes a warning. He says, watch and pray, lest you enter temptation. Listen, we all can be a help to one another. If the Lord Jesus needed help while he was upon this earth, if he found comfort by the presence of the disciples, what about us? Is there anybody here that cannot admit that once in a while I would like to have somebody comfort me? Yes, we cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. Yes, we come unto him, and there are all of us that are heavily laden and burdened, and he will give us rest for our souls. But sometimes the brethren have the same responsibility to be a part of that process. Jesus recognized the weakness of the constitution there of the brethren, of Peter. And he even said there that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so, yeah, we need others to help us carry our burdens and to lift that load and make it a little bit easier. God has designed the church to do just that. We're to love one another. We're to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, encouraging one another. Love lifted me. And so we think about these things and remember that Jesus said a disciple is not above his teacher. Remember that? A disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Our teacher, our master was in that garden and needed the disciples to just stay with him for an hour. Watch with me. Comfort me. Be with me. And he asked the Father in heaven, oh Father. You see, he needed that comfort. He was fully man, wasn't he? And we're not above our master. And if we're perfectly trained, we'll be like our teacher. And that's Luke 6, verse 40. And so sorrow, disappointments, tragedies, setbacks, many kind of things that befall us during our lifetime. Remember also that Jesus suffered those things. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points was tempted the same as we are, yet without sin. Some of these kinds of things, they affect us physically, spiritually, sometimes both ways. And we need to remember that the presence of Jesus with Mary and Martha in John chapter 11, where Lazarus had died, and that's their brother, and they're in sorrow, great sorrow, and his presence with them comforted them. You see, Jesus on the earth is only doing what he wants us to do. He went there first to share in their sorrow because he waited for Lazarus to die. And he went there to share in their sorrow and to lift them up and strengthen them in their faith. As a family in Christ, we need to love one another. We need to love the brethren in the same way that he, Jesus, showed us love. It is foolish. And it's hurtful to withdraw into a shell when we need help. When you're in the presence of love, you need to find that help. Find the strength of the brethren. Find them. Love lifted me. Another thing is, we all need advice from time to time and wisdom. We all need that. Some point in our life, sometimes there's a difficult decision. Sometimes it's problems that we're having. Sometimes it has to do with education or schooling or dating or marriage or vacations and entertainment. It doesn't matter what it is, where you're going to live, maybe the kind of work you're going to do, but sometimes you need advice. How to handle your finances, but spiritual things also. And sometimes we just need advice. But far too often, brethren, they hold back in the spirit of arrogance. And I mean that. It's an independence that people want to have where they don't accept advice from other people. And that's self-destructive, ultimately. It cuts you off from the one another. Love can't lift you up that way. And I'm not taking any power away from the Word of God. It's lifted me up. It was the Word of God that directed me. The Word of God that showed me the truth. It was the Word of God that showed me I needed to be baptized to be saved, contrary to what the whole world was telling me. The Word of God lifted me up. It directed me. But I counted on other people along the way. And even today, there's not a week goes by when I don't call some preacher friend and ask questions and seek advice. Solomon gives us really good advice about that. If you look in Proverbs chapter 11, we'll begin there. Proverbs chapter 11. And Solomon in 11 verse 14, he says, where there is no counsel, the people fail. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. You see, we can help and ask for advice. Proverbs 15, verse 22. He says, without counsel, plans go awry. We want to do it all ourselves. Things don't quite work out. We don't have that relationship with one another, and sometimes we find ourselves alone when we really don't want to be alone, and that's because we've refused counsels. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Look at Proverbs chapter 24, and in verse 6. We're putting a nail in this coffin right here of people being self-destructive by never asking for help. By the wise counsel, you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. This is coming from God through Solomon. You know, he's called the wisest man on earth, and he talks about needing counsel. Yeah, he made a lot of mistakes. All distresses spiritually are a result of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21 talk about all the things of the flesh that cause us trouble. They cause us anxiety and strife. And those are the kinds of things that we often need help with the most. And so you think about that. No one else can make our decisions for us, obviously, but we can always find help from brethren. Find strength in a time of storm. And understanding that's necessary to make good decisions. We need strength. We need the strength which our brethren can give us. Okay? We need that strength that can give us when we face the devices of Satan in this world. And he's out there. Remember what Jesus told Simon, Peter, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31? He says his name to Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. The devil's out there and he wants to destroy us. He's going to take any little tiny crack, crevice, reach in there and grab you by the throat. And he's vicious. That's what Jesus told Peter. And because of what happened to Peter throughout his lifetime, through that time that he was alive, he became qualified to counsel us. He's got all kinds of experience. He suffered all kinds of things. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8, he counsels us, be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he roams about like a roaring lion seeking to devour whomever he may devour. He's out there. He wants you to think that you got it all together. He wants you to think that way. You know, here, maybe you are pretty strong. You know, some of you out there are probably a lot stronger than me spiritually and emotionally, and you're all fit and everything, and maybe you can walk this little narrow thing here and not fall. And then your brethren, they watch you do it, and they think, wow, I can do that. But you know what happens? They fall. We need to be those who usher people to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Show them a way out of the problems and the sins, the struggles that are in their life. You think about that. When we stumble and fall in sin, we need help. We need the love and the strength of our brethren to lift us up. Remember what Jesus told Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. You know when he said that? You're going to deny me three times, he said. Peter, oh no, I'll never deny you. Three times he denied Jesus. And he remembers these words. That you're going to deny. And you know, when he was in that garden, or when he was in that courtyard, and he the cock crew the third time, you remember what happened? He turns his eyes and Jesus is looking right at him. And he was sorrowful. Jesus says, when you come back to me, in other words, when you repent, when you get through all of this sorrow and suffering, strengthen your brother and use that. Jesus not only saw that Peter would fall, but he knew Peter would repent. And I think the major reason for Peter's repentance, his change, was the knowledge and the love concerning Christ and what Jesus had showed him. Jesus' love lifted him out. We never be offended when somebody asks if they can help. And if you're in a habit of saying no, maybe sometime you ought to just try yes. Because it's going to be good for you, and maybe you're going to be good for them. Our second point here, how can I strengthen my brethren? Well, first of all, teach them the truth. Pretty simple. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. We have to learn the truth, and we have to teach the truth to others with confidence and with courage and edifying and strengthening and renewing and bringing them up to the point of the salvation of their souls. Teach the truth. That's why Paul said that if anyone teaches otherwise and doesn't consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine which is according to godliness, if that happens, you have nothing to do. People are teaching error, compromise. They weaken and they destroy us because they're not working for God. Disputes, arguments over things like words, envy, strife, revilings, suspicions, useless wranglings, all those things Peter talks about there in that part of the book. Men with corrupt minds, he says. People are destitute of the truth. From such withdraw yourself. Set the best example is something else that we must do. Set a really good example. Matthew 5 and 16, what did Jesus say? You let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We need to follow the example of Christ in our lives in every way possible. We need to walk as closely within His footsteps as we can. That's how we can be a good light. We must stand as close to the Lord and as close to the truth and stand up for righteousness as much as is within us to do so. And remember that everybody's watching us. Again, look at me. You may think, wow, that guy, he's walking that straight and narrow path right between sin and righteousness. Maybe I could do that. And then they fall. Let your light shine. Our spirit, our attitude needs to reflect the beauty of Jesus. Paul said in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus also. You remember that song? Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. We want people to see the love. We want people to see a love that can lift them up. We want people to see something that when they get a hold of it, they're like, I can't let go. I can't let go. This person has something special. And we do. We have the power of the Word of God within us. We have all the things that are written down and examples that we can use, all the teaching of the ages, found all that pertains unto life and godliness. We have that. And listen, our brethren grow stronger and stronger when they see in us a childlike attitude towards Christ. Especially when we stand in opposition to sin and error. Brethren are discouraged, of course, rightfully so, if they see us walking in sin and error. We need to have that spirit, that attitude, that effect, that people can see the love of Jesus in us. And then love lifts them up, and it lifts us up too. Don't forget, Matthew 5 and 14, you are the light of the world. Right? You are. You are the light of the world. Take advantage of that. Also, strength is shared by hospitality. Visiting with each other. Now, I have something on my mind, but I'm not going to say it. I'm going to think about this. That's wisdom. I had a teacher that told me you have two hands, two eyes, two ears, and one mouth. Do more, hear more, see more, and talk less. strength is shared by hospitality and visiting with one another. The New Testament's full of admonitions for us to be busy doing the work. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, don't forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so you may have unwittingly entertained angels. James chapter 1 and verse 27, James says, pure undefiled religion before God is this, that you visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, Peter says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Listen, when Christians can be together on informal things, it's lifting. When Christians, they visit and share in one another's life, it's lifting. When Christians, they show an interest in each other's souls and their destination, it's lifting. When Christians come together and they have that spiritual strength, it will abound together. Love lifted. We need to open our homes. We don't want to be isolationists, standing behind closed doors and walls, only showing up once a week. Some of us three times a week. Unity, love abounds when brethren visit. You know, they did that in the first century, Acts 2:46, from house to house. They ate their meat with gladness. Also forgive one another. Forgive those and comfort those who have repented. Paul said if we fail to do this, we cause erring Christians to be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Satan takes advantage of them then. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. You can read about this brother. They needed to accept his repentance and let him come back, encourage and comfort him. When we show a forgiving spirit, for somebody who genuinely repents, we increase their resolve to continue, their determination to go forward, to do what is right and to continue down that path, putting Satan behind them. And we don't want to be bullies on the playground when it comes to repentance. I've experienced that in the past. I've never experienced that here, thank the Lord. But I've experienced people that somebody repented of something and they put that person off aside and wouldn't let that person do this or that, and they treated them differently all of a sudden. When you repented and came to God, He's not going to treat you any different than He does me. So we need to think about that. Be faithful in worship. We've talked about that before. Let us consider one another, stir up love and good works. How many? Not forsaking the assembly, how many? As the manner of some is, how many are those some? Exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Notice the very first words there in Hebrews chapter 10. That should say Hebrews chapter 10, not 11. You notice the very first, let us consider. I want you to consider what happens when you're not here. Consider how that affects other people. Consider when you are here. We have brethren sitting close to one another all throughout this auditorium tonight. Poor Terry's all by himself. Amanda's by herself. Come on, guys. Where's the love? But get that. When we're together, we're strong. When we sing, it's better. When we pray, it's powerful. When we take communion, when we listen to services and messages and teaching and class, and we're stronger. Consider. Let us consider these things. Willful absence is not a lovely thing in the eyes of the Lord. And you know, there's nothing more depressing than to come and in the morning and see 45, 50 people, and then to come in the evening and see 15 or 20. And we have a good number with us tonight. Aren't we? Praise God for that. We just need to encourage people all the more. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 32, Jesus, he's predicting Peter's denial. Remember that. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. He wants to sift you like wheat. And he says in that other verse, but I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen the brethren. Lift them up. Love lifted Peter. Love lifted Paul. Love lifted so many people throughout. And love lifted me. You know, you think about this. There may be someone here in the assembly who has never partaken of the offer of Jesus to be part of his family. Never accepted all the richness and the blessings and the freeness, the forgiveness, the reconciliation, the knowledge that you will one day be in heaven. The absolute knowledge that you won't be separated from God. People have not received the strength that comes from the Lord, and they have not allowed the Lord to reach down and lift them up. They have not been able to say, love lifted me. I think that's pretty tragic. Because I know that when love lifted me, it changed a lot of things in my life. Don't suffer with any kind of doubt at all in this life for no reason at all. Don't allow doubt or disappointment, which is going to lead you to eternal damnation, to the one who's not trying to lift you up, but the one who's trying to pull you down. You need to make decisions so that you can say, love lifted me. The Apostle Paul said that, or he was told that by Ananias, rather. Ananias, after Paul was instructed and what he needed to do, Ananias simply said, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Acts 22, verse 16. Love lifted Paul right out of the mess he was in and into the service of the Lord. And Paul never looked back. He kept his eyes focused on things above. He was running the race to win the crown. Right? Love lifted him so much that he said it's better to be with Christ, to die and be with Christ. There's a great gain. And if Satan has sifted you and you become walking in some kind of error, repent therefore of your wickedness. Pray to God if perhaps he will heal your heart. That's what Simon was told when he sinned. Acts 8:22. As we serve the Lord, he gives us strength. And our own strength won't lift us up. When we really need it, when something really bad happens, you mark my words, there will be nobody there to lift you up. You lose your spouse, nobody will be there to lift you up. You find yourself living alone, nobody will be there to lift you up. You will not be able to say, love lifted me. Jesus, through his word, gives you strength to do the things that you need to do. Will you let love lift you today? We have a song of invitation tonight, song number 719. If you have any need whatsoever, please come forward and sit in one of the front pews, and we'll do everything we can to help you as we stand and as we sing.